Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Seth, also known as White Fox SG, and I'm joined today by a very special guest, my co-host for the day, the YouTube extraordinaire MechFrog. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing very well, thank you.
Awesome. Well, it is a pleasure to have you join me. I'm super excited about this. This is a project I've wanted to do for a while, and what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at different mercenary units coming out in the Kickstarter that is releasing in March. And so because this is going to be a mercenary-themed podcast, calling it the Mercenary Star Podcast. So, welcome. Again, thank you. And tell me, let's get it out of the way right now. What is your favorite mercenary unit?
It's a tough call. There's so many good ones. But it's got to be the Grey Death Legion, just being the first novel that many people get into Battletech read, The Decision of Thunder Rift. It's great for a variety of reasons, I'm sure we'll go into today, but
absolutely,
being kind of a plucky underdog story, and who doesn't love that?
Absolutely. I have to agree that the Grey Death are definitely my favorite. I feel like you've probably been in the Battletech universe for probably close to the same as me, time-wise, going back to the 90s. But they are definitely the first books that I read were the Grey Death trilogy. And so they're going to be actually the topic of today's episode. Episode one is the Grey Death Legion. And so we're going to dive into that. And if you are watching on YouTube, you're going to get some cool pictures, some graphics to go along with it. And if you are listening on the audio version, then go watch the YouTube. No, but we'll describe everything a little bit and have some talking points here. So without further ado, all right. So, the Grey Death Legion, like MechFrog said, was a lot of people's introduction to Battletech. It was the first novels written in the Battletech universe was the first Grey Death novel, Decision of Thunder Rift. It was put out in, let's see, I'll get an exact date here, June of 1986. Okay, I was 4 years old. I didn't read it until I was about 7 or 8, about 1990. So, but yeah, it was the first novel written in the Battletech universe, going back that far. And so since then, there has been a lot more novels. We'll talk about that in a second. You said this was the first one that you read as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember, it must have been very early 90s.
Yeah.
First got into Battletech.
Yeah. I remember my specific Battletech novel memories focus around Walden Books that was in our local mall. And so I remember we got a new novel about once a month, maybe once every other month in the 90s, I feel like. And I remember like knowing it was coming out on this day and I was going to go pick it up. And it was a rush because they usually only stocked like maybe like 6 or 10, copies of a novel. Which now seems like a lot because our friendly local game stores, it's we're lucky if there's one or two or three of a Battletech item these days, but it's coming back. I'm excited about that.
At least in the digital form, if not absolutely, paperback.
Absolutely. And personally too, as an adult, I have had to go away from physical. I do love physical books, but so much faster to get them digitally. Also, it takes up a lot less room on my shelves, and my wife appreciates that. So,
you just recently moved here. We turned the entire basement into a library. So, yeah, I feel your pain. finally got to unpack all of the books and just realized just how many we had been lugging around for the past 16 years. So
yeah, absolutely. No, I 100% agree. My wife and I will have been married 15 years this year, and I've got some boxes in the attic of all my BattleTech books, you know, then all my other Star Wars and fantasy books as well. And yeah, there's nary a place for very many of them. So I have a few of my select favorites, and then more so I have my game library. So like my source books and stuff like that. That's all out here. But yeah, the novels, they're packed away. One day to return, hopefully. But
people don't want to let go of their BattleTech stuff. No. I check out the secondhand shops around here all the time, just looking for the random BattleTech book, and I find Shadowrun books. There's old D&D books. I can find Warhammer books. No BattleTech stuff. Nobody lets go of any of that.
No, we cherish it. Yeah. it doesn't. It does not change. But yeah, let's look into the Grey Death Legion here a little bit. So they were founded in the BattleTech timeline in 3024, so right in the middle of the Succession Wars era. They were formed on by Grayson Death Carlyle. Fantastic name, by the way. I don't know who made the decision to make Death his middle name, but man, really works. Their logo is actually a skull over a red field. Kind of looks like parchment that's like burned at the edges or something. So, but yeah, they have a pretty signature icon within the BattleTech universe. One of a good, you know, 5 to 10 that you can, a lot of BattleTech fans can instantly recognize their logos.
It's part of that kind of 80s sci-fi nostalgic look that makes like the Grey Death Legion so attractive, because they have kind of that punk rocker look, and I'm sure you'll show pictures later. But it just all perfectly fits with this 80s view of what the future might look like. But it is so much a little time capsule of the 1980s. It's great.
It is. And again, if you're watching the video on YouTube, I'm going to show several covers of the first novel to get that real nostalgia feel, because it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. But yeah, so there, like I said earlier, their first appearance in fiction was the very first BattleTech novel in 1986, Decision at Thunder Rift. The author for most of these was William H. Keith Jr. We have some images here for your viewing pleasure. But yeah, you kind of get the sense, like starting on the left was the first novel from 86. Very 80s sci-fi. We got the long blonde hair. We got the much thinner profile of the mechs in both the one on the left and the one in the middle. They still are very reminiscent of the early Robotech models that we all, you know, the Unseens that we all know and love, that we grew up with. And then the one on the right is the current reprint, which they have done the reprints under BattleTech Legends, which, you know, to me is a little bit misleading, because in Star Wars, when Disney bought them, they took all of the old novels and they put them under the Legends moniker to basically say, well, these are just legends. They're not really canon, because they wanted to write their own stories. So, you know, but in BattleTech universe, it just means they're the old books and the reprints. They're still canon, part of the universe. But yeah, if you had, what was your favorite style of the novels here? Did you like the old school ones?
I like the old school ones just because it kind of brings you back to those days in the 1980s and early 90s, when just kind of a simpler time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, even the text and the fonts are just simple. There's, you know, informative without having to be too artistic. But yeah. So yeah, the original trilogy two for this was Decision at Thunder Rift, Mercenary Star, and The Price of Glory. That's what's considered the Grey Death trilogy. Most BattleTech fans who have been BattleTech fans for more than 5 years have probably read these books. If not, they are a fantastic introduction to the Grey Death Legion. They're really good introducing people to the world of BattleTech because it is a very small focus. Like, it's focused on this small unit. They start off, and we'll kind of have a summary of their history in a minute, but really good set of books. But it was also the early years of BattleTech writing, and the authors were having to come up with the descriptions on you know, as they went. So, you know, the terms that we use for, like, what's a PPC sound like? What color is a PPC or a large, medium, and small laser? You know, those things always don't always match up. Yeah, yeah. Today. We still argue about that, but that's okay. But yeah, so there's so much description, but they're really great. William H. Keith did a fantastic job with them.
It's a picture of a world where battle techs are special, and it really sets up that idea that these are not just a machine that there's another battle mech, whatever. It's when one shows up, you have to deal with that right now because it's an imminent threat.
Yeah. So
it's a really good job of painting that picture of the battle mech as really this king of the battlefield.
It is, and as something that is long-standing, because as we talk about in the unit summary, you know, Grayson Death Carlisle, you know, gets his family mech. It's been in their family for a long time, and these things were handed down from generation to generation because they were so expensive, they were so important to the political and, you know, landscape of the Inner Sphere. So yeah, it does a really good job. But it also, at the same time, those novels also did help in point out that they weren't invincible. Because part of the Grey Deaths, part of their history and part of their kind of specialty was anti-mech tactics. And that's we see that in these three novels, is that Grayson trains up infantry to be able to take on battle mechs when a lot of people just see them as unstoppable war machines. So
much more kind of realistic understanding of how a battlefield would look with the combined arms.
Oh, absolutely. Together. And that's another thing about the new Kickstarter that's coming out that I'm very excited about, is the combined arms. I didn't play Combined Arms growing up. I don't know about you, but it was...
Elementals quite a bit, but not so Elemental, much tank.
Right, right. And we played, you know, both Inner Sphere and Clan growing up, but we just didn't play Elementals very much. I think the minis were a little harder to get in our region, but and we definitely did not play with vehicles. We just didn't do it. Mechs were the king.
The rules, you know, for the vehicles can be a little convoluted, especially when you're doing, like, sliding on concrete and that kind of stuff.
Yes, they definitely are. And I'm sure I started playing pretty young at, like, 7 or 8, you know, really getting grasp on it as I got to, like, 9, 10, 11, you know. And so I'm sure my older friends that introduced me to BattleTech did not want to explain those rules to me, which was completely fine. But, yeah, so... I don't know this for a fact. I'm going to have to research it, but I feel like the Grey Death Legion has, they have at least 12 pieces of fiction written about them. And I'm not sure if that, is the most. I would say it probably competes for the most amount of fiction with the Wolf's Dragoons, maybe followed by Northwind Highlanders. And we'll talk about them later, but yeah, there's at least 12 pieces of fiction written specifically about the Grey Death Legion, and even the things that are in the beginner in the box sets are about them, which I think is pretty cool because they've had such an impact. And then let's talk about the, we'll get into the unit summary here. Mr. MechFrog here, let's alternate, and I was gonna say, if you want to take a paragraph at a time, I'll read the first one or kind of summarize it.
I don't have the document open. I can't get it open.
That's okay. That's okay. Then I'll just read it and we can chat about it. All right. So Grey Death Legion, you know, like I said, while it's not as old as some units, it's definitely among the elite units in the Inner Sphere. And then they've also arguably had the greatest impact on the average Inner Sphere citizen. The unit itself was founded from the ashes of Grayson's father's mercenary command on the planet Trelwan. And the unit itself, over its even kind of brief rise to elite status, would grow to be about a regiment in size. On Trelwan, Grayson took the remnants of his old unit. They were betrayed and caught up in some political intrigue with Duke Recall from the Draconis Combine, actually. And they basically, you know, had been hired to repel invaders. They had been set up to fail, and then he eventually kind of led them to repel the invaders that they were hired to do. So that's all kind of in the first novel, Decision of Thunder Rift. You said this is your strongest memory since you've read it most recently. What's something out of that novel that you really appreciated?
I'm thinking through like all my favorite parts of that book. The scene where he's standing in the alleyway with the Inferno SRM, and we got Lori and they haven't met yet, but the Lori and the Locust staring each other down and just astonished that this single human being would stand up against a mech. It's a pretty iconic moment, and I think I've seen in art people drawing that kind of scene before, but people remember that kind of thing, and just leading from the front and that kind of cool stuff really lets you know what kind of a person Grayson was.
Yeah, and he was doing it as much for himself as for the people under his command. He was trying to keep them alive because none of them had mechs and they were facing mechs. But yeah, I think, which he's, you know, MechFrog said Lori, and that's Lori Kelmar, who would eventually go on to be Grayson Carlisle's wife. And she'd be Lori Kelmar Carlisle and help run the Legion as well. But yeah, it's an iconic moment for sure. I mean, the Locust is on the cover of two of the three printings of the novel itself, and I'm gonna paint that white and yellow one from the original at some point. It's gonna happen. So
I need a few little white mech really gets the chance to shine.
Yeah, absolutely. Always.
Big heavy mechs get to take the spotlight all the time on those covers, and kind of cool that the Locust got to be good and the Wasp.
Yeah, the smallest of the small. But yeah, so you know, it's such a great introduction to BattleTech as a universe. But moving away from this main from this first novel, we get more into Grayson Carlisle, which again on the video there's a awesome picture of him, and this is like new art of him with long blonde luscious hair and a headband and his iconic vest and patch there. It's fantastic. But besides just being an elite mercenary unit, their greatest contribution would honestly come in still within this first trilogy, from their recovery of the Helm Memory Core. The Helm Memory Core was, it was in 3028. It was a Star League library of lost technology that was discovered during their time on the planet Helm. Fantastic novel. Definitely should go back and read it. But it's something, it's in the third novel, actually, of the trilogy. And it's a, you know, a database treasure trove, basically, of lost technology. If you know the history of Battletech, you know that in starting the Succession Wars, humanity has beaten itself into, not quite the Stone Age, but as close to possible as still being able to travel amongst the stars. And all this old technology, but it's not just about, you know, war and battle either. I mean, there's like technology for, like medical technology and, harvesting food and things that affected the daily lives of citizens across the Inner Sphere as it was released. And this also kind of goes to Grayson Carlisle as his selflessness is that he could have, as a mercenary, been like, hey, I'm sitting on a fat paycheck with this thing. But he didn't do that. He gave it away, sent it out. He was also trying to avoid it being destroyed by enemies that were hunting it down. But it eventually made its way to all the great houses.
He kind of understood the threat that would be created if House Merrick had obtained that repository of mechs and the technology and been able to just completely overwhelm the other houses.
Yeah.
Spread the information, which actually ends up being something that is crucially important when the clans show up.
Absolutely. It was the basis for how they were able to even understand some of that clan technology, which, you know, most everyone knows were the descendants of the Star League. And in the novels, you know, it's some Merrick soldiers with backing from Comstar, who are trying to keep it away from the rest of the Inner Sphere. They wanted to maintain their technological edge over the rest of the Great Houses. It being disseminated out into the Inner Sphere was definitely their greatest accomplishment as a unit. Not a momentous battle. The NAIS, the Fed Sons, would give them battle armor, and they would actually have two famous models, the Grey Death battle armor and the Grey Death scout armor. So, got a couple pictures here. They would actually, the Grey Death Legion unit itself would be destroyed for a period of time, and they would be survived by Grey Death Technologies, which would continue to produce this battle armor, even going into the Jihad era and the Dark Age, and then into the El-Clan era as well. So, have you ever used anything besides elementals, like any of the Grey Death battle armor?
I haven't. No.
I haven't either, but I'm looking forward to it. The new Kickstarter, so. Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely. I know we're getting some Inner Sphere battle armor, and so that'll be pretty awesome. The Grey Death Legion also were one of the few mercenary units to be gifted a planet. They had a little bit of a holding on Helm, but then eventually would be gifted the planet of Glengarry to use as a home and also to rule over by Victor Steiner Davian. It was a little short-lived, as this was coming at the end of the FedComs, or with kind of the beginning of the FedCom Civil War and going into it. And then by the end of that FedCom Civil War, unfortunately, the Grey Death Legion suffered enough losses that they ceased to be a combat unit anymore. That was in action on Hesperus II in 3065. And they wouldn't be reformed until 3151, the Ilklan era. And also during that time, 3065, we had Grayson and his wife Lori both passing away during that time, one from illness and then one from the battle on Hesperus. But their great grandkids, Ronan and Isabella Carlisle, would get released from the Lyran Commonwealth Armed Forces, and then they would reform the Grey Death Legion, and so we're back to having the Grey Death Legion in BattleTech in the current timeline, which makes me happy.
Yeah, some things we should probably leave gone, but I'm glad they did bring the Grey Death back. I think that a lot of people were pretty sore about how the jihad kind of cleared the table pretty roughly and without any real concern for a lot of these units that people have really grown close to. So I'm glad at least this one can come back.
Absolutely. And I know some won't come back because they were in, you know, unfortunately, from all those Dark Age source books, they were given a paragraph to say, oh, and this unit was killed by a nuclear explosion on such and such planet. And that's the very unfortunate send-off that we got for a lot of these. And so those won't come back.
Or videos, and oftentimes you're checking sources, and it's page 66 in this book of the jihad. Like, it's literally just a line on the timeline. Mm-hmm. So you have no idea what specifically happened or how things ended up that way. It's just this unit was destroyed or this planet was bombarded.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we get
happening.
You know, and we can get full novels out of a line like that. But unfortunately, at the time, the people who had the rights to the BattleTech IP did not do that. And surprisingly enough, I don't know if you listen to any of the other BattleTech podcasts out there, but I did hear Brent Evans, who's the art director for BattleTech and Catalyst Game Labs, talking about during the time that all that went on, there was also this massive hit to the publishing industry. And so not only could there, like, the plastic minis were so hard to get, but it was near impossible to, and financially and physically, to get things printed at the time.
Yeah, or just pull out of the novel market.
Yeah, yeah.
Really recovered.
It was in that, late, early 2000s, and it was good to hear him talk about it, because that was something that I didn't think about, you know, novels and source books being so difficult to publish because it was too expensive, and then they also couldn't get the published materials from overseas where they were being manufactured, so, as well as the plastics for that matter. So that's kind of it for the unit summary. But like I said at the top of the show, part of why we're doing this is that I want to highlight these units because we are getting a lot of information on them in the form of new fiction, new minis, and then for some of the ones we're going to cover first, new box sets of minis. And so covering the Grey Death Legion first, we're going to talk about the force pack for the Grey Death, and it's the Grey Death Legion Heavy Battle Lance. And if you're watching the video, we have an image of it up. It looks awesome, and it's got a nice mix of mechs from both the old and the new. Why don't you let us know what those mechs are there? to take a drink. Oh, you can't see it. Just kidding. Gotta find a better way to share this with you next time. Okay, so the Battle Lance, the Heavy Battle Lance, is a Shadowhawk, a Gargoyle, which is a clan name, a Catapult, but it's a variant sculpt, and then a new mech called the Regent, which is an Intersphere Omni. And one of the things that these new boxes are going to have is they all have a jumping version of one of the mechs. And so the Shadowhawk is actually a jumping version. Thankfully, it is something that you can take the plumes of smoke and fire from the jump jets. You can take it off and not use it if you want and just have it on a base. But it's cool that they give it as an option.
Yeah. Yeah. You can do some pretty cool smoke effects, especially with the speed paints.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was really thinking about is the speed paints and contrast paints. That is going to make it a lot easier for people to utilize that. But yeah, so the reason these mechs were included and why they're important, the Shadowhawk was Grayson Carlisle's mech from his father's unit. It wasn't the mech he piloted the entirety of his career, but it was the first one. It's in that first novel as well. The Catapult, which is a variant, it's actually the K2 variant, does not have missiles. It has two PPCs. And in the novels, it's actually piloted by one of their enemies, piloted by a House Kurita MechWarrior that went by the name of Brian Kosicki. But yeah, it's really cool looking. I love the two PPCs on it. I think that's really cool.
It's a little warm.
Yeah, definitely toasty. But there's a bunch of variants. If you look up the different variants for the Catapult, there's a bunch of different versions of the K2 that all have PPCs. ER PPCs, heavy PPCs. And so that'll be a fun unit to have because we can deploy it for all those different versions if we want. The Gargoyle, which is a Clan Omni-Mech, was included because it's actually from the Ill Clan era novels. They're novellas. There's two of them, Price of Duty and Mercenary's Honor. Those are both by Jason Smetzer. They're the only ones that aren't written by William H. Keith Jr. And I think they're really good. I know you haven't read them yet. Definitely encourage you to read them. They can be read in a day or two. They're pretty, like I said, they're novellas. They're pretty short. But it's a good overview of how they come back as a unit in the Elclan era, which is the current timeline. And the Gargoyle is something that... How he finds it, I won't spoil the surprise for you. But Ronan Carlisle, which is Grayson's great-grandson, pilots that, and it's a really cool. It's a variant as well. It's a I think Alt Configuration C with the AC-20 Ultra AC-20 and 5 or 6 ER mediums. So it's pretty cool. And
all day.
Yeah. And then the Regent, like I said, is the Intersphere Omni, and it's in the second novel, and it's piloted by a. It's funny, the Clan Omni is piloted by Ronan Carlisle, and the Intersphere Omni is piloted by a Clan MechWarrior. it's a really cool looking Omni Mech as well. So that's going to be the release of that Omni Mech. That's the first time we get to see that sculpt in production. So, which is there any of these that you are excited to paint or to put on the table and play with?
Anything with those smoke plumes. I'm really looking forward to working with those, playing with the speed paints and airbrush, and seeing if we can make out a really dynamic looking pose, much better than just the mech standing on two legs.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not playing a bunch of competitive Battletech, so, you know, the line of sight and stuff like that for the sculpts, that doesn't matter to me. I just like a good-looking mech, you know. So, So yeah, that's exciting.
Looks like a solid box.
Absolutely. And those will come with, you know, the pilot cards and the alpha strike cards. So they'll be usable for both. We don't have a word yet on when the Grey Death Legion force pack comes out yet. But the first of the force packs is supposed to be released on February 8th. And that's going to be the Eridani Light Horse, which we're going to cover in the next episode. Just wanted to kind of highlight the units for people who don't know some of these, because I don't know all of these mercenary units that are going to be included. And so I wanted to take this opportunity to look at it for myself, but then also share it with other people. That way they can kind of understand it. I know there's a lot of people who don't read the novels, which baffles me because I love the novels. But they're out there. And so hopefully you get a little bit from this and are able to have an appreciation. If you're looking for a faction, maybe this will be the one, the video that helps you choose. Anything else?
Good conversations to have, because a lot of the information about these older merc units are in source books that most people don't have anymore. A lot of these are very, very old, and it's one thing to just read it off a wiki. It's something else to actually go back and, oh, okay, this is why that arm in the Rifleman is wonky in this. So it's a level of detail that I think people would appreciate, but it's right now it's kind of locked away in the past. Good to have these kind of conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Megfrog, thanks for joining me today. Hope to see you back here soon, whether that's the next one or another one sometime. Love to have you. But yeah, anything else for the Grey Death Legion that you want to say? Let me slip it.
Glad they're back. Should be fun.
Absolutely. I am too. Also, I did forget to say they were the first paint scheme that I did. I did my own custom paint scheme, so all the way back in the 90s. So I'll have to throw some pictures on the internet of that and maybe do a new version. So now that I'm
early 90s paint schemes can be scary.
it's a little scary. That's not bad. It's not bad. I think I had some help since I was a child on like the jeweled cockpits, but other than that, you know. Hopefully I've grown as a painter.
I'll hope we are.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, hey, thanks again. And for everyone tuning in, thank you for listening. And I hope that you enjoyed it. If you have any suggestions or comments, you can definitely hit up myself or MechFrog. Where can they reach you on the internet?
MechFrog12 on Twitter or MechFrog on YouTube.
Fantastic. And for the moment, throw comments or concerns or questions my way. On Twitter, it's at WhiteFoxSG. And then these will be up on YouTube. I believe I was able to snag at Mercenary Star, because, you know, Mercenary Star podcast. And if you know, the Grey Death, the Mercenary Star was basically the planet that mercenaries go to get hired, and it's been several different planets over the years of the Inner Sphere. So basically it just means, where they go. So anyway, thanks again for joining, and we'll see you next time.